Welcome to this PSC podcast on the energy transition and the steps PSC are taking to be at the centre of it. Earlier in the year, PSC's steering team spent time to review our mission, vision and values, as well as the strategic priorities we've set ourselves. The result was a clear shift to empower people to transform the energy industry so that together we will power a sustainable world. As a result of this, Matt Robinson was appointed into a brand new role at PSC, Head of Strategic Service Development, and he joins me today. Matt, welcome.
Thanks, Tina.
Your new role is related to PSC's refreshed vision. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. Thanks. That's correct. After we created our vision and articulated our why statement, we started to look at what would be needed to ensure that we fulfilled it and realised that organisations are really good at creating vision statements and then putting them up on a wall and across the website, but it often just ends there. And because we felt so passionately about the area that we'd landed on, we just didn't want to risk that happening to us. So we wanted to make sure that we would commit PSC to shaping itself and being able to deliver on that statement that we made. So Alex Boyd, our CEO, also deeply aware of that scenario about visions remaining a statement and not becoming action, decided that we would commit to ensuring we had somebody dedicated to developing the types of service that the energy industry will need, as well as creating the environment within PSC that would enable us to enact that vision. And that's where my role fits in.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I think a feature of this transition is really that our industry that was once really it was static. It wasn't a very changeable industry. It was quite predictable. The technologies we use, and it's changing rapidly because of the technologies we use, the opportunities that they create and how we fund them and the way that we think about energy. All of those things are changing very quickly. So our business and any business like ours traditionally would have probably taken a quite incremental stepwise approach to growing services, looking at its client base. But we need to be very flexible and adaptable in this new era. And the best way that we can do that is to ensure that our whole business, our services and the way that we work are all focused on helping clients meet their strategic needs in the transition. And so with that in mind, we're now analysing the market, our business and various other aspects to identify the critical areas where our clients need support and to ensure that we're ready to support them.
That sounds fantastic. And just to pick up on one of the topics, obviously the energy transition is a huge topic and it affects many facets of our lives. Can you share some of the ways you see PSC operating in this new paradigm?
Yeah, of course. So you're quite right. It's a series of changes that affect a whole series and areas and facets of our lives. We've heard over the past few weeks, for example, at COP26 and around all the need for driving to net zero and the need to do things very differently. That thinking is becoming absolutely critical. And the energy industry, I think, we can view the changes that are occurring here through two broad lenses. So there's there's how we produce energy and then there's how we use it. And just try to do this for a bit of an example. If we take electric vehicles as an example, in our current energy model, we use liquid fuels or fossil fuels to power most of the vehicles that we've got. And as we know, there's an entire industry dedicated to extracting oil and gas and refining it into a usable fuel, transporting it, storing it, and then selling and dispensing it around the globe. So the three main players in that industry, you've got the fuel producers, the vehicle manufacturer, and then the vehicle owner. The contract between any of those is very transactional, and none of those different players actually interact with the other one beyond a single transaction. It's really siloed. There's no real crossover at all in that industry the way it is now. But if we look at EVs and the impact they're going to have on this and what they are doing in different parts of the world, the fundamental difference, of course, is fuel. So now it's electricity stored in a battery. And assuming that you produce electricity from zero emissions, you've got a vehicle that produces no further emissions as it's used. But the other element that's really different is where that fuel comes from. So we've all got the fuel supply at home. Now, if we look at electric vehicles, we could supply our vehicle at home, and we don't have a petrol bowser at home, so that's a huge change already. If the vehicle owner's got solar on the roof, they're able to fuel that vehicle emissions free themselves without having to involve another third party in that at all. They might even use a charging point in a car park. They might be doing that at work or at the shopping mall. So now their vehicle is engaging other parts of the industry, different players there, and it's now becoming a store of electricity. So it can be used to supply energy to the grid as well. And so now the vehicle owner and the electricity utility are now integrated in that with that vehicle. So it's a really major shift in how that one one element in the electric vehicle is changing a whole piece of the transport industry and the energy industry at the same time. And if we look at the electricity sector, the shift there is very profound. And what that means for PSC, for example, and what we're concerned about here is the way that our electricity systems are designed and the way that they operate, with generation concentrated where their fuel supplies are. So typically we build our power plants where there's coal, there's gas, there's wind or there's solar, and then we transmit it to the loads, which are all traditionally static things. So houses, factories, offices, hospitals, and those types of things. Mm-hmm. EVs make this another layer of complexity because they obviously can move. So what was once a load, charging the car at, say, at work or at the shopping mall, it can then 30 minutes later appear on a different part of the network as a source of energy in a completely different place. And that, so it might be discharging the battery at home in the evening, for example, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's a layer of complexity that's different. We don't see that at the moment at scale. And then the other side of it is the fact that batteries are so fast. So they can switch between being a load to being a source of energy very, very quickly, within milliseconds. And we're seeing some of the impacts of that already on our network. And that would, at scale, that means operators of the network, people controlling the flow of energy around the grid, need to make decisions really quickly and much quicker than they've ever had to. And we're getting to the point where they need to be made quicker than really humanly practical, to be honest. Yeah. And so because of that, we're having to look at implementing automation, machine learning, and handing off a lot of the controls to computerized systems that traditionally would have been planned and then carried out by a person. Well, of course, PSC's role in this starts to become a bit clearer now, because we've been working with those types of clients for over 25 years. We've been heavily involved in the SCADA and control sector. We know about EMS systems. We know about DMS systems. And we also work with renewable energy developers. We've been working with them to help connect their assets to the network, understand the stability issues, work with network operators on the same things. And then the other enabling technologies like HVDC cabling, for example. So you can see now that PSC's got all these existing skills that are highly relevant to this systemic issue. And mm-hmm. being able to bring those skills together and focus them on each of our clients' needs so that we can work together through the transition is a really a clear way that we've got a role to play in this.
Does sound pretty exciting. And it's obviously going to be a massive change for both us and our clients. And I guess there's always two perspectives to all of these changes, right? So do we see this as a threat or is this an opportunity?
Well, for me, it's a really easy one. I see it's a huge opportunity.
Right.
For everybody involved. I think there's change required here. We just talked about that, and that's always feels risky to some people. But I think that type of thinking is really starting to fall away. And if we look at recently what's happened in the industry, we started off, say, 10 years ago, maybe a bit longer, with wind and solar, and looking at whether those technologies were viable, whether they were reliable, was there a business case for them? And that thinking's not there anymore. We've gone past that. It's well and truly done. What we're grappling with now around those types of technologies is how we integrate them into our system, into the energy system, for example. So it's a systems problem and an integration problem that we're trying to solve. And that's the next big challenge that I see in the transition for the electricity sector, for example. We seem to be landing on the fact that it's an unavoidable truth now that we've got to change the system. And it's got to be able to accommodate these new technologies. And then alongside that, the ways that we use them. So we talked about EVs and the change they create. This will create other ripple effects and changes in the system that we'll have to accommodate. There's another analogy we could look at. You know, when we went from horse and cart to the motor car, for example.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. back in the day, you know, we could get away with fairly rough roads and them being unmetalled because we had horses and carts and they were able to negotiate a system like that.
Mm.
But cars, as motor vehicles, they needed smoother surfaces, wider lanes, gentler curves because they were going faster and they operated differently. But the advantages were so great to us as a society that we wanted to use them so much that we made the changes to accommodate them. It's the same thing. We're going to have to change our electricity system to accommodate the new technologies and the new systems and the new ways of doing things. So it's going to happen and we'll get there. But there's a lot of thinking and a lot more doing to do yet. And also the economic activity around that's enormous. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah.
These systems and these changes that we're going to need to change, we already started doing it, but it's only just the beginning. And I think the ripple effect that we're going to see from some of these changes is going to create even more opportunity and advantage as we move forward. So I'm really excited about all of that. There's another area as well that is starting to show how some of these opportunities spread outside of just the electricity sector into a wider energy system.
Oh, what? Tell me about that.
Well, if we look at batteries, for example, that's a way to store energy, something that the electricity system's not really dealt with in the past. It's been a real-time system where we've balanced supply and demand in real time. But now we're able, through batteries, to store energy at one time and then discharge it and produce it again at another time. And that's really what some of the thinking was being held back in the early days of renewables around that issue, and now so batteries are starting to resolve that for us. Another area that's emerging now is producing hydrogen using electrolysis. So we can use excess renewable energy to produce hydrogen that can then be stored, and it can be converted to other forms as well. So we can convert it quite easily to ammonia, for example, which makes it easier to store, but then it also turns it into a chemical that can be used for agriculture to produce fertilizer, for example. Ammonia can fuel diesel engines directly with very, very low emissions. And it suddenly creates other opportunities and other reasons for using electricity that weren't there before. So you see the ripple effect starts to widen out, and this transition becomes an all-encompassing thing. So that's showing very real promise. Producing hydrogen from renewable energy, and so it starts to then circle back to what we're talking about at the beginning and start to bring those old fossil fuel producers back into the mix and see another way forward for them to be part of this transition. And therefore, potentially there's a whole bunch of other clients and markets that PSC can operate in. So all these changes and these shifts in the systems, they're creating a lot of potential for us to engage with new customers, expand our influence in the market, and widen our business practice.
Well, it sounds like exciting times both for PSC but also for the market, and it's all the players in the market, right? So you've got your traditional generators and you've got your new entrants, and that whole transition is bringing everyone together. So it sounds like really exciting times. Thanks very much for joining me, Matt. Did you have any final thoughts?
I think the key one for me is the vast opportunity that we're seeing now for us and for our clients, and this is really now creating a great place for PSC and our clients to work together to move ourselves and our society forward.
Fantastic! Thanks so much for joining me, Matt. Listeners, we're going to be interviewing other subject matter experts from across the energy industry, and we'd invite you to visit our website to look out for these in future. www.pscconsulting.com. Once again, thanks very much, Matt.
Thank you.